بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. So we were in the discussion of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم treating the captives of Badr very very kindly in their stay, during their stay in Medina Munawwara. Those who could pay the ransom had to pay. Those who couldn't afford paying and they were literate, they were given a bunch of children under supervision, and they had to teach these children literacy, reading and writing. This shows the importance Islam holds towards literacy and reading. And more so, Quran, in the first verse to be revealed of Quran Kareem, Allah says, اقرأ بسم ربك. Read, read in the name of thy Lord. And in this Iqra, there's indication to literacy as well. And there's occasions in the Quran where Al-Qalam is mentioned. Even in one of the earliest revealed verses, according to many Mufassireen, it's the second surah to be revealed. In Surah Noon, Wal-Qalam, Allah takes Qasam by the pen. Wal-Qalami wa ma yasturun. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. So there's the importance of this. Among the people who were brought captive to Medina Munawwara was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu al-'As ibn Rabi'. Now he was a man well-to-do. He was the son of Hala. Now who is Hala? Hala is the son of is the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha. So Hala binti Khuwaylid. So this was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. And Khadija radiallahu anha had considered Abu al-'As to be like her own son. وَكَانَتْ تَعُدُّهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَلَدِهَا. But they were very, very close, and that's how she gave her nephew, her own daughter, to marry. And they were very close, a good couple, very, very close in their union, in their understanding, in their ta'alluq, in their attachment to each other, to such an extent that when the other son-in-laws, or those who were to be wedded, or were just wedded to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughters, it was coinciding with the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's initial da'wat, the mushrikeen were upset. So they go to Abu Lahab's children, Utbah, Utaybah, and they insist that you should leave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughters. Let him worry about his own responsibilities. And they agreed after Quraysh had offered them different women and different offers. But when they approached Abu al-'As to do the same with his wife Zainab radiallahu anha, he outright refused and said, no matter who you can give me, مَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِمْرَأَتِي إِمْرَأَةً مِّن قُرَيْشِ. Any other woman you can give me can never be to me like Zainab is. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated this of Abu al-'As. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him in his relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Zainab radiallahu anha remained with Islam, but her husband refused to embrace Islam in the initial stages. But when he had encounters with the Muslims and he knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was true and Islam was haqq, obviously he saw it in the character of his wife and his own children. Okay, now he's brought as captive. He's brought as captive, and in the initial stages, the law was not revealed yet that you cannot remain. A Muslim woman cannot remain in the nikah of a non-Muslim. Anyway, now he's a captive in Makkah, in Medina. And obviously his wife, with her loyalty, also had to send some money to ransom her husband. And amongst the money she sent was also a necklace, because she had to meet the amount that was due to free the captives. And in this was the necklace that her mother had given her, because she needed to make the amount. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes laid on this necklace, his eyes welled in tears. And then he made a request. Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw his emotions. And he realized that his daughter was in difficulty. So he said, if you all feel fit, he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in charge there, in ra'aytum an tutliqu laha asiraha, wa taruddu alayha alladhi laha, if you all feel appropriate to release her captive and send back what's hers, then that would be appreciated. They said, yes, of course, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they sent her belongings back. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Abu al-As and said that now you go, you're released, but what I want you to do is send my daughter to me. He agreed. He comes to Makkah and he said to his wife Zainab radiallahu anha that now you have to prepare and go to your father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu with another Ansari, go and wait for Zainab radiallahu anha. Kuna bi batn Ya'jaj. Wait in a place called Batn Ya'jaj. Allah's Nabi gave a ring as proof. They go there, they wait at this place. Now Zainab radiallahu anha gets ready and Abu al-As sends her with Kinana bin Rabi', his brother. And as they departing, the Quraysh hear about this incident. They rush to stop Zainab radiallahu anha. The first to reach there was Habbar bin Aswad. He comes there and he shoots at Zainab radiallahu anha. Anyway, the camel got shot. She got thrown off the camel. She fell and she was badly injured and she lost the infant in her stomach. Obviously being the grandchild of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this, Kinana opens his quiver and he lays his arrows down before him and he threatens these attackers that I will kill all of you. How could you do such a thing? Abu Sufyan and the other Quraysh come onto the scene and they said to Kinana, stop. Let us explain something to you. We just had an incident in Badr. And now you take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter openly out of Makkah like this. It's inappropriate. What would be said about us? What you do, take her back. When you see things calm, then quietly, secretly take her out. And that was a point that was accepted. Anyway, they return to Makkah. In the Zainab radiallahu anha says, Hind comes to me. Hind binti Utbah. Now the famous Hind, she comes to me. She says, you know, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, I heard you planning to go to your father. Zainab radiallahu anha says, I didn't agree to that. I wasn't prepared to tell her because I didn't know her intentions. So she says, I hear you planning to go to your father. If you need anything, I'm prepared to help you. We women are not like men. We don't let these things trouble us. Zainab radiallahu anha says, I really felt, Wallahi ma araha qalat dharika illa li taf'al. I feel she spoke sincerely. She wanted to help me. But I still feared. So I didn't mention anything to her. So it shows that was some goodness of her. And later on Allah did give her hidayah. And she became much later, Hind radiallahu anha. But she was prepared to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter there. In the Zayd radiallahu anhu had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ring. So one day they meet, they're waiting in Batn Ya'juj where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to wait. But time is passing and they don't know what's going on in Makkah. And it's dangerous for them to enter Makkah. So while they are waiting in the wilderness, they meet the shepherd. Who do you belong to? Abu al-As. Whose flock is this? Zainab binti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they ask the shepherd, can we give you a ring to give it to her? He said, fine. And when he returned with his flock, he presented the ring to them. So she asked them, where did you get it from? A certain man. Where did you meet him? Yeah. She recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's that specific ring. And then she prepared, and then she left, and they meet Zayd, and she returns now to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, Allah gave Abu al-As hidayat, which we have discussed before. There is an incident after Badr. The mushrikeen were sitting discussing that we have to now send money to release our captives. So there was a man by the name of Umair. Now you should remember his name. In the discussion of Badr, he played a major role in estimating the Muslims for the mushrikeen. So he was one of the senior commanders of the mushrikeen in Badr. And the other was Safwan bin Umayyah. We all remember Safwan bin Umayyah and the story of Umayyah bin Khalaf and Bilal radiallahu anhu. Now this is his son Safwan. Now Safwan wasn't Muslim at this time. So Safwan and Umayr both sit by the Kaaba. And they both are reminiscing Badr in sadness and regret, thinking about whom they lost in Badr, and they emotional over the incident. In this, Umayr uttered a statement that, hey, there's no good in life after such people. And then he said, لولا دين علي وعيال أخشى عليهم الضيعة. If it wasn't for my debts I still have to pay and my daughters to take care of, I would now go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and assassinate him and end him off once and for all. We can't take this anymore. In this emotion, he sat next to the Kaaba in the Hijr, the semicircle, which is part of the Kaaba. Inside there, he made this utterance. Safwan saw the opportunity. What did you say? He says, yes. And also, I have an excuse. What's your excuse to go there? He says, my son Wahab is there. I can make as though I'm there to ransom him. Safwan seized the opportunity, saying, I'll take care of your daughters. You go, carry out this task. And I promise you, whatever I give my own family, I will give your family. And Umayr was too happy about this, and he now undertook this journey. And he said to Safwan, please keep this a secret between both of us. Safwan agreed, and he did take care of the family of Umayr. Now Umayr undertakes this journey. And now, finally he reaches Madinah Munawwarah. He reaches the door of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Masjid in Madinah Munawwarah is the center of Madinah Munawwarah. This is what the Masjid is about. The Masjid is the center of every city. The Masjid is the center of the Muslim's heart. The Masjid is the center of Islam. So he reaches Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the headquarters. Masjid is the headquarters. He ties his camel outside there. Anyway, he hangs his sword around his neck. Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting with Sahaba in the masjid. And what was their discussion? وَيَذْكُرُونَ نَعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي بَدْرٍ They were rehearsing and discussing Allah's favor upon them in Badr. And this happened and that happened. So to say, they were doing one halqa of ta'aleem, learning and rehearsing. Obviously, they were there in Badr, but rehearsing Badr. When Umar radiallahu anhu sees Umayr, he says, oh, this dangerous man has come, the enemy of Allah. He enticed the mushrikeen against us, and he was the one وَحَزَرَنَا لِلْقَوْمِ who actually estimated our number. Because this was the sharp eye of Umayr. In Badr, he looked once at the Muslims and verified further, but he came back saying, there are 300. But he did tell them, but in their eyes, you can see that they prepared to give their life for their cause. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu had this feeling in his heart that Umayr came with evil intentions. هذا الغادر الخبيث الذي لا نأمنه على شيء. See this man, he came with his weapon. We cannot trust him at all. Anyway, Umayr comes forward. Umar radiallahu anhu comes by him and he says to the Ansar, come near, be careful. This man could try to do something stealthily, you know, sneakily. Umar radiallahu anhu grabs his neck and says, what have you come for? He said, no, I've come. You know, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees this scene and this hustle. He comes out and he sees Umar radiallahu anhu grabbing the neck of Umayr. How he grabbed it was his sword hanger was hanging from his neck. So he had grabbed his neck from the sheath of his sword, the leather on which was hanging around his neck. So Umar radiallahu anhu was grabbing onto Umayr, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar, leave him, release him. Come Umayr, why have you come? Umayr greets, good morning, an'im sabahan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umayr, Allah gave us a much better greeting, salam. So Umayr said, but this salam is something new. You never used to greet like this before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him, قَدْ أَكْرَمَنَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَحِيَّتِكَ Allah gave us a better greeting through Islam, and Allah made our greeting salam, and this is the greeting of the people of Jannah. Allah give us tawfiq. How beautiful is the greeting we have as Muslims. Anyway, in this discussion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him salam and so forth, that Allah gave us better. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umayr, why have you come? He said, I came to ask you to release my captive. Who is your captive? My son. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you came for this, but why have you come with a sword? He says, what use is this sword of mine? This could do nothing for us in Badr. Allah's Nabi said, speak the truth. What really brought you here? He said, I only came here to release my captive. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but you and Safwan sat next to the Kaaba, inside the semicircle, and you had a deal done. What was the deal? Is you said, had it not been for my debts and my children, my dependents, my daughters, I would go now to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to end him off. But you know what, Umair? Wallahu ha'ilun bayni wa baynak. Allah is saving me from you. Allah is blocking you from doing what you plan to do. You'll never be able to. Umair, in the shock, said, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness that really you are the Rasul of Allah. You are the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he read, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He said, I always denied this, but it's too clear to me. There's no one who could have known this. There's no one who could have known this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah gave him hidayat. Safwan believed that if there was no one left on this earth except Umair bin Wahab, he would still not become Muslim. He would still not become Muslim. Look at Umair when he came into the environment of Medina Munawwara and he saw the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's efforts and inviting, he embraced Islam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that release his captive, let him sit in the halqa of ta'aleem, teach him Quran. Allimu akhakum. Teach, allimu akhakum al-Quran wa atliqu lahu asirahu. And he spent days in Medina Munawwara learning. Inshallah, with this incident, we will continue because it's a beautiful incident where he returns to Makkah after learning deen in Medina Munawwara. And he goes to meet his friend Safwan. We will continue with that discussion. So, Umair radiallahu anhu remained in Medina Munawwara with his son Wahab radiallahu anhu, both learning the deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the senior sahaba radiallahu anhum, taking effect from the environment of iman and deen that is there in Medina Munawwara. And in this, time is passing, it was a short span of time, but he is learning, and his friend Safwan bin Umayyah, you remember Safwan ibn Umayyah, his father was Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the man who used to torture Bilal radiallahu anhu. Now this is Safwan, they were relatives, Umayr and Safwan. And now Safwan is going to all the mushrikeen and giving them solace and, you know, giving them reassurance that don't worry, don't feel sad. What happened in Badr has hurt you, I know, but soon such an event you would hear of, tunsikum waqa'ata badrin, it will make you forget the calamity that had befallen you in Badr and the losses that you have incurred in Badr, so don't worry. And he would go and give them reassurance like this. And he is awaiting. And now he is waiting in anguish. A time came where now, because he doesn't know, Umayr radiallahu anhu is learning deen in Medina Munawwara. And his still same vibe was that definitely Umayr would not take effect from the environment of Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What an effect the environment of Medina Munawwara can have. So what we learn from here? This is according to Quran. When we come into the correct environment, we become uplifted with deen. Our iman gets revitalized. We become rejuvenated. So Quran encourages us, O people of iman, fear Allah. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ O people of iman, fear Allah. And be with the people of iman and the people of truthfulness, the people of sincerity, the people of taqwa. Meaning in that environment you would become affected. Allah give us tawfiq to be in good company. That's why very often sahaba radiallahu anhum would make dua. Allahumma yassir li jaleesan saliha. This is a dua of sahaba radiallahu anhum, and tabi'een learned this from them. Tabi'een used to very often make this dua. Oh Allah, give us good company. Oh Allah, give us pious company. Wherever we go, let us make this dua. And also we should ask Allah, wherever we travel, wherever we go in the world, Allah give us tawfiq to become better. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught the ummah on traveling on a journey. Oh Allah, save us. Na'udhu bika min al-hawr ba'da al-kawri wa da'wati al-mazloom. Oh Allah, save us from hawr ba'da al-kawr. What that means is, if you take literal translation, Allah save us from removing the turban after tying the turban. That's the literal translation. So, that in rhetoric we learn, in balagha, that it actually means some good that we're doing. Oh Allah, save us from stopping that good. Or that good coming out of our life through this journey or through this travel or through undertaking this task. That's a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he taught the ummah on a journey. And the other wording, A'udhu bika min al-hawli ba'dal kawri. Oh Allah, save us from changing for the worst
make us become better people. Subhanallah. That is Rasulullah's teaching on a journey that we must always become better people. Our life must become a means of betterment for us and betterment for others. Otherwise, in the hadith we learn, then rather, if we're going to get worse, rather we leave this world. Allah Ta'ala save us from becoming shar, evil people. And Allah save us from bad endings. That's why another important encouragement of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is du'as. He gave du'as for those who are mafatih lil khayr, keys to good and locks to evil. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah save us from being keys to evil, to instigate and start evil wherever we go. And good taking place, we become a hindrance to that. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala save us. So Umayr bin Wahab radiallahu anhu was now affected by Iman and he became so strong. But Safwan, he can't believe this yet. So he is going to people and giving them this news. Don't worry, don't worry. He would actually come out of Makkah Mukarramah, wait on the road, because he became so restless now. No news is coming. He's waiting for the letter of Umayr coming to him to say that, the task is fulfilled and completed, the sinister plan or the evil plot that they had plotted together, and to say that now I have terminated, na'udhu billah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what he's waiting for. And now he stands outside Makkah to meet the caravans. And indirectly he's asking them, where do you all come from? So many of them are coming from Medina Munawwara. And so many of them are embracing Islam. But he's waiting for some specific information. And no one gives him the information he's looking for. Then he started asking, tell me, is there anything strange? Because he knows, if such news had taken place, that would spread like wildfire. And he would get to know about it very, very easily without even probing. But now he has to probe and he asks, okay, anything peculiar happened in Medina Munawwara? He would ask from caravans coming from that direction. And people would respond in the negative. Until one caravan then said to him, hey, you know what? Something very, very amazing happened. Umayr ibn Wahab embraced Islam. Ya Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. But this was a shock on Safwan ibn Umayyah. He couldn't believe it. He became so angry, so upset, so upset he became. But what did Umayr do? What did Umayr do, Subhanallah? Really, we need to learn this lesson from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They embraced Islam and they didn't keep it for themselves. Umayr radiallahu anhu spends time in Medina Munawwara by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the halaqas of ta'aleem. Beloved brothers, respected elders, sit in the halaqa of ta'aleem taking place in the masjid. Join, sit. Get inspired with the a'mal of the masjid. And when we go home, do the ta'aleem at home with our women folk, with our children. Allah give us tawfiq. And now he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's permission. And also sit with our ulama. Sit with our ulama, sit with our imams, sit with the people of ilm, of taqwa, of piety. Take benefit from them. This will come with us in the year after. He becomes so inspired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum's company. Now he takes permission to return. And he returns to Makkah Mukarramah with a great ambition and a powerful niyyah and intention. And what was his intention? That whatever wrong I did against the deen of Allah, whatever wrong I did towards my akhirah, I'm now going to patch up and make tawbah. And we learn one very, very important lesson of tawbah. One very, very important lesson of tawbah. To try and change the wrong that we did by increasing in good deeds. Increasing in good deeds. He says, whatever wrong I did, I'm going to multiply my efforts now. I'm going to increase my efforts now. Subhanallah. And he returns to Makkah Mukarramah. And he meets the people. Whoever he did wrong with, he goes to them and he says, you know, I have now changed. Islam is the truth. Islam is the way. And he calls them to Islam. Subhanallah. What a sign of tawbah. What a sign of tawbah. He goes to Safwan ibn Umayyah. He goes to all the seniors. And he makes efforts on them. Allah give us tawfiq to do this. He used that position he had, that closeness he had with them, he uses that now, so that they would listen to him, and he invites them to Allah Ta'ala. Remember, if Allah gave you position, it is from Allah. Use it for Allah Ta'ala. Something interesting happened this last week in Newcastle. One lady who embraced Islam secretly from Hinduism. Alhamdulillah, she embraced Islam, but she kept her Islam a secret. Few years ago, when her husband, who was a staunch Hindu, and he was a policeman, a very high-ranking policeman, a sergeant, and his father, her husband's father, was a priest in Hinduism, a pandit. But this man here embraced Islam. He was influenced by deen. He was affected by character of the Muslims, and he was invited to Allah Ta'ala. He embraced Islam. And then his wife managed to then, alhamdulillah, she was so happy. She told him that, you know, I'm also Muslim for a few years now. And he was so happy. And then he realized why. Slowly, slowly, each time he brings lamps, it gets packed away. And his wife doesn't eat in Ramadan. She never used to eat in Ramadan. And then he realized actually what was going on. And then this child used to actually encourage her, this woman used to encourage her child to also practice deen. And he also embraced Islam a few years ago, subhanallah. And how Allah Ta'ala made it, ya Allah, that their entire family are Hindus. But husband, wife, son, alhamdulillah, Allah gave him a Muslim wife, their son. So the whole, this family were Muslim, alhamdulillah. She passed away in this week on Sunday. And in that, we went, alhamdulillah, they had the ghusl and so forth, Muslim, the community, the ladies made ghusl. Then we went to the house. So when I went to the house, there, sitting by the house of this brother, Sergeant Muhammad Subramni, as I'm sitting with him, and his family members are reaching and arriving and sitting there, all are Hindus. Anyway, he's like waiting for me, like what prayer are we going to give for his wife? Anyway, alhamdulillah, some of our Muslim ladies were by the janazah making dua and making tilawa and making dua for her. We sat outside with the relatives, and then I sat with them and made dhikr of la ilaha illallah. Now he's also making dhikr of la ilaha illallah with me, their son, myself. And ajeeb, it was so amazing that the Hindus were making dhikr of la ilaha illallah with me. And then we made dua, and I made dua in English for her so that they could also understand. And this man was so motivated by this. Then alhamdulillah, Muslim people, Muslim from the community, brothers and sisters started coming. And in that, Allah gave me the opportunity to speak to the Hindu family members of this lady. Because they knew she embraced Islam in the last few years, and they had made a lot of opposition against her and tried to put pressure on her, but she remained firm, Allahu Akbar. And in that, Allah gave me the opportunity. I told them that look at this woman, she's an inspiration. She looked at the pleasure of Allah. She didn't worry what people have to say. Now I tell you, the Hindus were so affected by this kalam, and these words are for myself and for yourself. We have to worry what Allah thinks of us, what Allah is saying about us, what Allah is Allah Ta'ala happy with us. But these Hindus were so affected by this that they were thinking, yes, yes. And then I told them, see, now she's gone to the Almighty and she's going to answer Him. Every one of us are going to undertake the same road. And ajeeb, what happened after that? So many of the Hindu relatives came for Maghrib Salah with me. And then before Salah, we were cut quite early because the janazah was taking place there. And many a time, non-Muslims come and witness. But then we had a chance to speak to them. They also performed the Salah with us, the Maghrib Salah. They asked for the translation of the Quran. So Allah gave us tawfiq to share the truth with them. So let's learn from Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu, all our contacts, all our friends. We always said, you know, mashallah, and we always think that, you know, if we treat the people, the non-Muslims, with character, it is sufficient. I'm afraid, my respected listeners, it is not sufficient. We are Muslims, we have the truth, we have to directly, but politely, directly but politely invite them to Allah. It is not just a virtue, but a duty. It is the duty of every Muslim. And this is the job and the responsibility and the duty of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How long are we going to say just character? Allah forgive us, our character is so weak. Allah give us tawfiq to improve our character. But we also have to impart. This is an injunction in Quran. We have to share the little we know and invite and offer our services, offer to pick them up, offer to take them to the masjid. We living with non-Muslims around us. Think, my respected listeners, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, who's going to invite them to Allah? We are the ummah of Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Nabi who is the greatest, who is the last and final Nabi. There's no Nabi after him. Alayhi min Allahi as-salawatu wa taslimat. We are his ummah. Why is his ummah made the best? Because of this. Let us do this. Let us do this. Allah give us tawfiq. Share the beautiful deen of Allah Ta'ala with others. Don't force, but advocate. Impart, share, invite them purposefully. When we leave our homes in the morning, make intention. Oh Allah, make it easy for me that I would be able to connect others to you. Allah, connect me to you and use me. Allah, give me tawfiq to connect others to you. Ask Allah for tawfiq, my respected listeners. And when we're reading Surah Yasin also, think about Sahib Yasin, that man Allah Ta'ala praises in Surah Yasin, Habib Najjar radiallahu anhu, how he invited, and how Allah praised him in Kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq to learn this from Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu. As we are in the discussion of Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu, just to remind of another Umayr radiallahu anhu, Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu's brother. Now Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas is from the Ashra Mubashara. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says that my brother was young, 16 years old. And amongst the Sahaba of Badr, as we were departing, I found him keeping himself distanced from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concealing himself. So I asked him, "Ma laka ya akhi? Why are you concealing yourself? Yatawara? Why are you hiding like this?" And this was before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached a certain point where he identified with all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were with him, and then he made a check to see who could come and who had to return. So Umayr radiallahu anhu, in anguish, he says, "I fear that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustn't send me back home. أَخَافُ أَنْ يَسْتَصْغِرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَيَرُدَّنِي. Then he'll send me back home and I want to become shaheed in the path of Allah. وَأَنَا أُحِبُّ الْخُرُوجَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِيَ الشَّهَادَةِ. I want Allah to make me shaheed." Subhanallah. Look at Sahaba radiallahu anhum's fervor. That was Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhum. And really, as he wished from Allah Ta'ala, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, his sword was tall. So I helped him tie his sword from his neck. Otherwise it was dragging on the ground. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "You have to go back," he cried. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay, you come along with us." And he became shaheed in Badr. He became shaheed in Badr. Amr bin Abdi Wud, who was one of the mighty, strong men of the mushrikeen. But where could he be mighty where he can kill a youngster like Umayr radiallahu anhu? But this also shows the bravery of Umayr radiallahu anhu, that he was prepared to go for anybody. Amr bin Abdi Wud, he was the gigantic person who jumped over the trench and fought against Ali radiallahu anhu and lost to Ali radiallahu anhu in the Battle of Khandaq. So the same Amr bin Abdi Wud killed Umayr bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and he became shaheed. So this is in the discussion of Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu. And there's another Umayr, Umayr ibn Niyarin radiallahu anhu. Umayr ibn Niyarin, and it is reported that he is the brother of Abu Burda bin Niyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Umayr radiallahu anhu narrates a beautiful hadith. Umayr ibn Niyar radiallahu anhu, and he's also a Badri Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Umayr ibn Niyar. And he narrates this hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of salutations, where sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salla alayya salatan mukhlisan biha qalba." He who sends durood to me with sincerity. Allah give us tawfiq. "Man salla alayya salatan mukhlisan biha qalba." The one who sends durood to me with sincerity, sallallahu alayhi biha ashra salawat, Allah will send upon him 10 blessings. وَرَفَعَهُ عَشْرَ دَرَجَاتٍ 10 mercies. And Allah will raise him 10 ranks. وَكَتَبَ لَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ Allah will give him 10 good deeds. And Allah will remove from his sins 10 sins. وَمَحَى عَنْهُ عَشْرَ سَيِّئَاتٍ This is Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi and Ahmad. So Allah give us tawfiq to learn from the Umayrs, from Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and all the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Let us continue with the discussions of Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu in the coming, and we also continue with Khalid radiallahu anhu's discussion, his journey via the valley called Samawa. We will complete that discussion. Allah give us tawfiq. Let's recite three quls for all the Sahaba, for Umayr ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu and his sarties, the galaxies of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.